We're doing Pirkei Avot. We're up to the third chapter, the fourth Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai Omer. Rabbi Chanina, the son of Chachinai, said the following. Hane'or balayla. One who is awake at night. V'amalech baderech yechidi. And he goes walking alone at night. V'amfaneli bo levatala. Or he just clears his heart to just let his mind wander about non-important things at night. So he's taking this time when potentially he could learn Torah. It's the best time to learn Torah. Everyone's sleeping. There's quiet. No one's bothering him. He could disconnect the phone, close the door, sit down and learn Torah. Person can't sleep at night. He gets up 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. There's quiet. Nothing to disturb him. What does he do? Turns on the TV. What does he do? Turns on the internet. Goes into a chat room. Tells us the Mishnah, Hareze mitchayev benafsho, he deserves the death penalty. He's given the most golden opportunity. The best time to learn is this time. No one's bothering you now. There's no excuse. Your mind is clear. You could learn. The Mishnah warns us. The person's not, don't go for a walk. Don't clear your heart and say, okay, now let me ponder the existence of Eid. No. Now learn Torah. This is the time to learn Torah. There were many sages that this was their key time to learn Torah. The story is told about the one who composed the famous work of the Tzos HaChoshen, that his work is learned in all the yeshivas. That's considered the Pilpul Sefer, the Sefer that has depth in the laws of Torah. So he once met another great rabbi, and the other rabbi asked him, how come your work is learned by all the students, everyone learns your work, and I worked so hard on my work, and it's not learned by the students like yours? So the Ktos HaChoshen answered him. He said to him, and we should just get a picture of who the Ktos HaChoshen was. He lived in Russia, and in the area where he lived, it was so cold that he spent all day under the blankets. He was a very poor man, but he learned Torah as much as he could, and all day he had to be under the blankets. He'd come out from under the blankets to write his work, and he'd start writing until the ink froze on the pen, and then he'd take it under the blankets so it would defrost, and then he'd continue writing. That's how the Ktos HaChoshen wrote his work. So when we're talking about the Ktos, you just have a picture of who the Ktos HaChoshen was. I don't remember.
But where was it in Europe?
In Russia. So the Ktos HaChoshen answered this rabbi.
Was it in snow area?
I don't remember.
Winter?
I don't remember. So he answered him, he said to him, tell me, at 4:30, 5 o'clock, early in the morning, when you wake up and your mind is crystal clear and you could really learn Torah well, what do you do at that hour in the morning? So he told him, that's when I learn all the new things and I write down my best thoughts, the best chidushim on Torah. So the Ktos told him, that's why. So the rabbi asked him, well, what do you do at that hour? So he said, when I get up at that hour to learn, I review what I wrote yesterday. I edit at that hour. I use that hour to edit what did I write yesterday. And that's why the work came out in a way that everyone likes it. And if you think about it, there's a lot of depth to the story. The message Rabbi Chanina ben Chachina is telling us, when we have those vacant hours, we have to know to take advantage of them. Mishnah Hei. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana Omer. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says, Kolam kabel alav ol Torah, whoever accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, he accepts that he's going to constantly learn Torah. That's his job in this world. Ma'avirin mimenu ol malchut v'ol derech eretz. In heavens, they remove from him the yoke of doing service for the kingship and the yoke of derech eretz, having to work too hard for his parnasa. Person gets a special blessing. God says, if you work hard at Torah, I'll make it that you won't have to work hard for your parnasa or work hard for the authorities. Everyone has to do jury duty, but you, they'll tell you you're not qualified, or they'll find a different reason why they don't want you. But whoever takes off the yoke of Torah from upon himself, then he has the responsibility, he will have the yoke of serving for the authorities and working very hard for his parnasa. So this is in general, it's on the one hand a promise, but it goes hand in hand with the fact that when you're learning Torah, so then you're going to have to live a simple lifestyle. Chazal taught us both points. If you'll accept the simple lifestyle and you'll accept living with meager means, then when you accept the yoke of the Torah, so you won't have to work very hard to attain those meager means and you won't have to work very hard for the government. Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa Mishnavav, Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa Ishpah Hananya Omer. Rabbi Chalafta ben Dosa was the important man of the village of Hananya, used to say. And some say that he was Ish Kfar Chana. This is the famous Kfar Chana. He used to say, Asarashi Yoshvim Voskim Batra, if you have 10 people sitting and learning Torah or dealing in justice, Shechina Shruya V'nem, then the Shechina is present between them. God helps them out to be extra smart and figure things out. Shenemar, as the verse says, Elokim Nitzav Ba'adat Kel. God stands by the congregation of God. And the congregation, an Eda, we say Adat, is minimum 10. And in truth, this verse indicates that God awaits them. We say that when you have a steady minion in a shul or somewhere else, so God precedes them. Elokim Nitzav, God is already standing Ba'adat Kel when the congregation unites in honor of God. Uminayin afilu chamisha. How do we know that even 5 that unite to learn Torah, God is present there? As the verse says, Va'agudato al Eretz Yisada. Uminayin afilu shlosha. How do we know that even 3 that unite to learn Torah? The verse says, Bekerav Elokim Yishpot. God judges amongst the judges, and minimum judges are 3. Uminayin afilu shnayim. How do we know that even if you have 2, God is there? As the verse says, Az nidbru yirei Hashem yishel reyehu. The people who were God-fearing spoke to one another. Va'ekshev Hashem v'yishma. God listened. Uminayin afilu echad. How do we know that even 1, if he's dealing in Torah, God is there? As the verse says, B'chol ha'makom asher azkir et shmi, avo elecha uverachticha. Wherever my name is mentioned, God says, I will come and bless you. So even if a person is sitting alone and learning, God says, I'm with you. I'm even with a single person when he's learning Torah. So this is a very important promise that Hashem gives us, that He'll be with us when we learn Torah. Our sages say that we need godly help in order to succeed in Torah. God says, even if you're alone and learning Torah, I'm with you. Mishnah Zayin, Rabbi Elazar ish Bartota Omer, Rabbi Elazar, the important man of the city of Bartota, says, Ten lo mishelo, give God of His own things. Shata v'shelcha shelo. For in truth, you and everything you own is yours. Last night I heard a very nice conversation. There was a man and a child walking. I don't think they were father and son, but they were some kind of relatives. And the child just saw the father give a donation to do something for the community. So the child asked him, why do you donate that money? So he said, because the community needs this done, so I donated the money. So he said, but why'd you give your money? So the man said, I didn't give my money. It's God's money. God gave it to me, and I'm responsible to do what's right with it. So that's a mitzvah. That's something that's right to do with the money. The money is only by me as a responsibility to do with it what's right. Well, what's right is to do mitzvot, so that was a mitzvah, so that's one of the things I'm doing with the money God gave me. Our mistake begins when we start thinking it's mine. Well, if it's mine, so why should I give you? The Mishnah is teaching us, ten lo, give God, mishelo, but you're giving it, it's His to begin with. Shata v'shecha shelo, for you and everything you have is yours, is His. So if we have that perspective, it's much easier. He gave to me as a responsibility, so I have to do what's right with it. And that's what the verse says regarding David HaMelech. Ki mimecha kol, David HaMelech says to God, in truth, everything I have is from you. U'miyadcha natanu lach, and I'm giving you back what you gave me with your own hand. That's this concept. So the idea is something we have to remember. It's a perspective in life. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Hamhalech Baderech v'shoneh. Someone's walking along the path and he's learning. He's reviewing his Mishnayot. And it's important to notice that the Mishnah says he is shoneh, he is reviewing his Mishnayot. Shoneh means he's just reading, reviewing. Like, you know Ashrei Behar? So you're walking down the street and you're saying Ashrei. It doesn't require too much focus. Right? We could all say Ashrei. Oh. But what about learning in depth that he's not doing that? Because you're not supposed to do that when you're walking. When you're walking, you have to pay attention where you're going. You have to pay attention not to walk in front of a car. You have to be careful not to get killed. And here I want to pause for a second to our chatanim and all our future chatanim. I always tell chatanim, when once you get engaged, you have to remember to become like a child. When you were a child and your parents told you, how do you cross the street? Look to the left and look to the right and look to the left again and then look to the right and only then start crossing. Well, I always remind chatanim that, because when a person's mind is not focused, and that is the way most chatanim are, they will find themselves sometimes crossing the street, and when they're in the middle of the street, they'll notice, hey, I didn't look both ways. Now, I recommend chatanim try to stay off of cars and bikes. Oh, really? It's very common that chatanim have accidents. It's very, very common. So the Gemara said, the satan is jealous of a chasan. He's about to get forgiveness for all his sins. A chasan is out there trying to get him. But simple logic says that the person's mind is preoccupied, so a person has to take extra precautions, walk a little slower, be extra careful. So any person, even not a chatan, when he's walking down the street, the maximum he could do is he could be shoneh. He could be reviewing something that's easy to review. So hamalech baderech v'shoneh, if someone's walking down the street and he's reviewing something that he knows well, some of his mishnayot, umafsik mimishnato, and he stops his reviewing of Mishnah. Ve'omer, and he says, mana'e ilan zeh, how beautiful is this tree. Mana'e nil zeh, how beautiful is this plowed field. Or any other thing that's not so important. Ma'aleh alav ha'katuv ke'ilu mitchayev b'nafsho. The Torah considers it as though he is really deserving of forgoing his life. Because what is he saying when he's doing that? He was in the middle of learning Torah and he stops in order to say something that's really not important. So what's he indicating? That even when he was learning Torah, he didn't value what he was learning. Our sages told us that the first temple was destroyed because they learned Torah without making a blessing on the learning of Torah. Meaning they didn't value Torah beyond any other philosophy. They learned Torah. They learned it with diligence. But they learned it like one studying philosophy. When one learns Torah, one has to know, I'm not just reading a history book or philosophy work. No, I'm learning Torah. I'm learning the words of Hashem. This is God's blueprint for the world. So I treat it with such respect. I can't stop and start saying, oh, what a beautiful tree, what a beautiful furrow. If I just walked out of the house and I saw something beautiful, then I'm supposed to praise Hashem. The Medrash says in the Medrash Tanchum and the Zos HaBracha, what's a tzaddik? Tzaddik is someone who, when he wakes up in the morning and he sees the sunshine, he blesses Hashem. He says, Ribbono Shel, what a beautiful world you gave me. Thank you, Yotzer Oro Vorech Hoshech. We make that blessing every morning. Blessed are you, Hashem. You created light. You created darkness. What a beautiful world you created. We thank Hashem. We say in the blessing of Bor Nefashos, what do we say? We say, God didn't just give us what we were lacking. He gave us beyond what we were lacking. God could have made the world to be just bread and water. No, God made it with all kinds of other things. We say in benching, God feeds us with chen. You have a beautiful, luscious fruit. You look at the apple, you look at the peach, you look at the pear, you look at the banana, you look at the way God created the world. Each one has its own texture, its own color, its own smell. God created the world with chen. We are supposed to have appreciation for that. But we also have to realize that when we're learning, we're supposed to be learning. If in the middle of learning I stop, and even though it's learning that doesn't require too much focus, he's just shoneh, he's reviewing his Mishnah. But what are you stopping to say, what a beautiful field for? When one stops his learning for unimportant things, he's indicating the learning isn't so important. Now, a person can work on this point a long time and attain this point and then get married and sit down to learn with his wife, and when he's sitting down to learn with her, so in the middle of the learning she's suddenly going to discuss all kinds of other things with him. And one has to know that with the wife it's different. This is a message for us. This is the way we're supposed to be. But we can't judge others. And also not our wives. When women learn, so there is a tendency to go off topic and start discussing other things, because that's what they're used to. And if they haven't been taught how to do this, so then it's going to be 10 times more difficult for them.
I'm an excellent person to say something off topic.
Oh, so us men, we're learning all the time. We're supposed to train ourselves not to go off topic. But we shouldn't hold other people, and especially our wives, to that standard.
But it's going to be very good who's talking to a woman.
Okay. Mishnachet. Rabbi Dostai be Rabbi Yanai, Mishum Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Dostai, the son of Rabbi Yanai, quoted in the name of Rabbi Meir. Kol ha-shokhech davar echad mi-mishnato. Anyone who's lazy to review his learning, and as such he just forgets things, even one thing from his learning, ma'ala alav ha-katuv kiru mitchayev b'nafsho. The verse treats it as though, meaning he isn't really giving up his life, but it's treated as though he's giving up his life. As the verse says, Rakisham elecha shmo nafshecha me'od, God says, watch yourself, watch your life, pen tishkach tadvarim sheru einecha, lest you forget what you've seen with your own eyes. Yachol, one might think, afilu takva lav mishnato, even if he forgot, you know, part of learning is God created us that we forget. He tried, he did his best, and even so he forgot. Talmud lomar, that's why the verse says, ufen yasuru min vavcha kol yimei chayecha. The verse is indicating, ha'ino mitchayev benafsho ad sheyeshev yisirei milibo. He's only responsible if he himself caused that he would forget. But if he did his best, we're not held to a higher standard than we can achieve. Should we do one more Mishnah or pause here? Odecha. Okay. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Omer. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who had tremendous years Shemaim, who lived on the volume of one Coke bottle's worth of caribs. All they had was a carob tree growing in their front yard. And a heavenly voice used to come out and say, the whole world is being sustained in the merit of Chanina, my son. And Chanina, my son, who in his merit everyone else is having it good, he has this little amount of carob for breakfast, lunch, and supper all week long. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who could barely afford to have any special food in honor of Shabbos, it was a really poor rabbi, but he was a great, great, great Talmud Chacham. He said like this, Kol sheyirat cheto kodemet lechokhmato. Whoever's fear of sin precedes his wisdom. That the first thing he works on and the first point in his personality is being God-fearing, being fearful of sin. Whenever he thinks of things, the first thought is, how do I stay away from sin? And then he thinks with his own wisdom. And this is a very important point. Chochmato mitkeyemet. Then his wisdom will last. Because his wisdom will ultimately guide him to where he needs to get to. But, v'chol shechochmato kodemet liirat cheto. Whoever's wisdom precedes his fear of sin. Whenever a question comes up, he first analyzes, what do I think? Then he thinks, okay, and what about sin? So his fear of sin is secondary to his wisdom. Meaning, what I think comes first. Then, what does God think? So if that's the way a person approaches things, in chokhmato mitkayemet, his wisdom will not last ultimately. If a person begins by thinking, what do I think? Meaning his first, whenever he's contemplating things, his thoughts are the first thing he entertains. And only afterwards, as an afterthought, does he think, well, is it permissible or not? So then his wisdom isn't going to last ultimately, because he's going to end up going astray. A person has to know that being God-fearing has to come first. Now, this is a very hard level. This is something that has to be worked on. Our nature is that from day one we think about, what do I want? What do I think? And we're not talking about within learning Torah. Here we're talking about in making decisions. When you approach a Gemara, so part of learning Torah is that you have to ask, well, what do I think? And then you read Rashi, and Rashi says differently. You say, wait a second, why didn't Rashi say what I said? Why didn't I say what Rashi said? And then you start analyzing, and that's how we could understand the Torah better. So when it comes to learning Torah, we have to begin with our own thoughts in order to grow. We have to see, well, what did I misunderstand? Why did Rashi not learn this way? That's part of learning. And that's not my invention. That's a Rishon named Rav Yitzchak Kampanktum wrote in his famous work on how to learn Torah. But here we're talking about in life. How do we make decisions? How do we approach things? A person has to decide, where am I going to live? So if a person's first going to think, well, what do I want? What's good for me? So he'll convince himself what's good for himself. And then he'll start thinking, well, what does God want? Does God really want this? He's going to have a very hard time seeing what God wants. If a person begins his thought process by saying, wait a second, where does God want me to live? God doesn't want me to live in a hick town where there's no yeshiva, where the shul is so modern that my wife is going to be uncomfortable going out. If a person begins by thinking, what's good for me? So he thinks, well, there are beaches there. There are pools there. There's cheap rent there. Sounds good. Then he starts thinking about the other things. He says, okay, we'll manage. The shul isn't so bad. Maybe we'll do a little kiruv. We'll bring the people closer. Automatically, our vision is going to be slanted. The person has to begin by saying, wait a second, what does God want for me? How do I stay away from sin? That we can see is the difference between Avram and Lot when they're discussing where they're going to live. Lot begins by looking out and he's saying, wow, I see the beaches, I see the girls, I want to go live in Sodom. And then he goes to Sodom, so he does good things in Sodom. He takes in guests, he's appointed as their judge, but look at what wife he finds in the end. Look at how his children turn out in the end. He loses his whole family, he loses his wealth, he ends up with incest. Where does Lot end up? Avram begins by saying, I'm here with God. This is where God wants me to be. This is where I am. Now you choose where you want to go. I'm not budging from where God wants me. Hu haya omer. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa used to say, Kol shemaasav merubim chokhmato. Whoever performs beyond his wisdom, he does mitzvot beyond what he's learned, chokhmato mitkeyemet, then ultimately his wisdom, his Torah will last. Kol shechokhmato merubam memaasav, and everyone who all he does is in theory. He has much more theory than he does practice. He could preach a lot, but when it comes to action, he doesn't live up to what he preaches. En chokhmato mitkeyemet, then his wisdom will not last. We have to outperform what we learn. We can't outlearn what we perform. We're supposed to learn a tremendous amount, but our actions have to outperform our learning. This is a very important point. Very often people get carried away and they think, I have to learn. Well, yeah, you have to learn, but within learning there's a tremendous amount of chesed that can be done. We have a friend that's in the hospital right now. There's lachem tomorrow. If he's still in the hospital, they'll let everyone know and we'll figure out who's going to visit him when.
Oh, yeah.
Part of learning Torah is, we know Ephraim just went to Brit Milah. So Ephraim has to be visited, he has to be called. That's part of learning Torah. We have to keep the Torah. You know, Rabbi Akiva had a bunch of students. He had thousands of students. And one time he had a student that was ill. So everyone was too busy learning Torah. No one went to visit the student. Rabbi Akiva went and visited him. And the student needed help. He needed someone to take care of him. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? He took out his toilet. You remember in those days they had a pan under the bed. Rabbi Akiva takes that out and cleans it out. Rabbi Akiva cleans up the room. Rabbi Akiva airs out the room. Rabbi Akiva brings him what he needs. And the student says, Rabbi, you know, I'm already feeling better. You took care of it. The room is now much cleaner. And quickly the student improved. And then Rabbi Akiva came back and taught all his students. He said, you know, visiting the sick isn't just visiting the sick. When you do Bikur Chom, you're bringing him back to life. You're giving him life. You're helping him. The word Bikul Cholim, Bikul, doesn't mean visit. Bikul means to check. Levaker, like Boker. Why is the morning called Boker? Because in the morning, when there's sunlight, you can discern between things. You have more light. That's why Boker means, it's called Boker. Boker comes from the word Levaker, to discern. When we do Bikur Chom, we're supposed to discern. What does the guy need? So Rabbi Akiva taught his students, if we don't visit someone, we're letting his blood be spilled. And when we do visit someone, we're giving him life. So we have to fulfill this Mishnah, that our actions should outperform our wisdom.